Welcome, friends. I'm so happy that you've joined us today on the 12th episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. When you think of the word legacy, what do you think of? A quick Google search defines the word as first a noun, an amount of money or property left to someone in a will. But that seems such a shallow view of something we want to leave behind. Is money or property all that defines us? Does it really capture the true nature of our hearts, our dreams, our passions, and all that we were created to bring to this world? Today, I'd like to welcome my special guest, lifestyle business coach, entrepreneur, and inspirer, Stephen Narell. Stephen has established himself as a motivator, a dreamer, an inspirer, and he works each day to push people to live big through his work and find their own way to leave a legacy that truly exemplifies their heart and life's work for the world. Thank you so much for joining me today, Stephen. I'm so excited for you to be here with my listeners and just talk about you and the live big work that you're doing. Today, you're an accomplished entrepreneur. You're a businessman. But could you take us back a little bit and share about your personal backstory before you became like where you are standing and what you're doing now? Like, tell us a little bit about Stephen.
The background. It's really not as exciting as one would like it to be. It's very simple. Now, I come from a tiny town of a few thousand people in Northern California, in between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe. And really grew up in the outdoors, exploring in the outdoors, both in hard times and in ambitious times too. So that's always been in my blood. And I've really found this whole world to be sort of endless with the opportunities to explore and to grow. And pretty much everything that I've been through has taught me, you know, something about the risk and why we should be aware of the dangers, but also the rewards that come when we really are just authentic and in what I like to call integrity.
Awesome. Well, I know that I've read some of the stuff that you shared on social media. You actually said that when you were younger, people like often, I'm going to use my term, forecasted your future. They forecasted your future to be less than stellar from their point of view, like their view of what you were capable of or what they thought you were going to do. They said things like you wouldn't finish high school, you know, blah, 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 but you proved them all wrong. Can you share how that outsider mindset, their view, affected you maybe when you were a young child? And how did you navigate those currents, perhaps like as that high school student and young adult? What did you do to overcome the voices of others and design the life that you're living now?
Oh, that's a great question. And thank you for this. That's these are deep questions. So it is an honor to be here with you and for all of you listening as well. My answer to that question, though, is maybe a little bit different than one might expect. I don't look at it like me and them. You know, I don't see it like I've made it and they didn't. The way that I see it is that the only people who are really putting other people down, holding people back, interrupting people's ambition, with youth or with adolescence. And these are the people that I experience. I mean, the people who really teach us how to act and do and apply logic in the world, you know, in elementary school up through high school. You know, this is like a routine that I don't aspire to live for myself. And in realizing that, you know, that my life is my life. My experience is what life is made out of. And in pursuing memorable experiences, I began to find a value that was way more than money, but I also found the synchronicity between, the quality of life that you create for yourself. Just looking in the mirror and saying this to myself, there's a direct synchronicity between that and our ability to focus on the core values that we really live for. So, with those in mind, it doesn't matter how big an obstacle, it doesn't matter who say what. To know self is a very powerful thing. And really, what we're doing here is putting our heads together in our best attempt to use creativity to help other people find leverage in their own and do what they love to do as well. So that's why we're all here. We're all in this together.
Yeah, I love that. So your platform that you have different things that you do, but your platform that you are currently that I've kind of joined, and you and I met on an online challenge called the Rise Up World Challenge, and that's where you and I connected, which was a challenge for entrepreneurs. And so you have this Live Big is kind of like your platform. Was there a certain like aha moment or particular experience that kind of catapulted its coming to be, or was it always something that was an undercurrent and you just said, you know what, I'm doing it? What, tell us about that.
Well, you see, the story we come to happens after we have the experience. Does that make sense? So, when I observed this burning desire within me, it wasn't like I came out feeling driven, because I was excited as a kid. I don't know about you, but I was energized, I was creative, I was, dreamy and enthusiastic about life. And I spent a lot of time by myself because I didn't have a whole lot of interaction in that way. So, I really cultivated that on my own. But I think to really sum it up, we have to take into account that our businesses are simply arrangements where people can gather and collaborate for a better future.
Right. So what kind of collaborative work does Live Big do for the world? Like what kind of things are you helping people to do through Live Big? Because I know what you what I when I started working with you, but what's your dream, like your goal, your vision for Live Big?
Yeah. Well, let me answer your first question. So it hit me while I was sitting on top of my parents' roof after, getting laid off of a six-figure job on Christmas Eve, and sitting there, like the house was vacant. They were, way off traveling somewhere for months at a time. And it just hit me the two things that I care most about. One, maximizing life. And that is to live. Two, who am I to say big, small, great, or whatever? But to each person, we have our own definition of increase and growth. And I remember sitting there just terribly frustrated, hungry, uncomfortable, and not even knowing what was going to happen next. And all I was sitting there with was this passion, was this emotion, and sorting the difference between like circumstance and making ends meet. Like, I don't want to be at this house again. Like, this is ridiculous. To, going all focus, all eyes on the creative aspirations that I had. And when I really saw this pattern just appears universal to me, to every human being, I saw unlimited scalability. And started to just live this philosophy in my own businesses. So live big now. This is going to be the biggest fall ever It's been predominantly remote over the past 3 years, really bootstrapped and not doing very much of anything. But it's really cool to see the organization come from the results of mentorship, the collaborations that have happened, the events that have taken places, the speeches that have been given, both myself and others, and the breakthroughs that our clients are having and their ripple effect that they're having on the world. So my goal is to organize everything so that it's simple. So every day we wake up, we know the Live Big project is what myself, every other human being is creating while we pursue our best representation of self. So you're going to see a lot of that on the livebigproject.com blog, which is where every single week there's going to be a little something that shows up. So look for that to expand in a big way.
Great. I'm excited about that. Now, you mentioned mentorship, and I know you and I have talked, but for many people, that's kind of an area that, maybe if you're in a new job, you might think, oh, I need, this person is my mentor. Like we had teacher mentors when I was in the public school, right? There are new teacher mentors, things like that. But
Sure.
you have had a lot of mentors over the last couple of years. You've shared with me. What do you think? For people listening who never have thought of having a mentor, why do you think that that's so important? What do we gain for having those mentors? And really, how should someone look for getting a good mentor? Because there's like a dime a dozen, like there's tons of them out there. So what would your advice be for those people who have never even been in that realm? Like, why do they need a mentor and where can they find one?
Well, there's two basic ways of going about this. One, there's the introspective way. And two, there's the extrospective way. So somebody might call themselves an introvert. Somebody might call themselves an extrovert. So however you want to go about this, to connect to the people that we really want to connect with, we want to be specific in outcome-oriented conversation and language so that our conversation isn't just for the sake of talking. It's not just for the sake of gaining a connection. We're already in the process of creating in every external action that we take, and we're making something happen. So recognizing that as we pursue people that we look up to is something that I've noticed to be, the major driver of those kinds of relationships is going out, asking those questions, getting in touch with those people. The other thing is being the person that you want your best mentor to be teaching. So that means showing up every day, as an active participant in the ideas that you're taking on. Does that make sense? I think that's the most crucial thing that I've noticed is understanding that duality between external and internal actions. When we look to a mentor, yeah, there might be millions of people out there, but first of all, I bet right now you can pick up the phone and you can talk to somebody that knows something you don't. So you have 7.8 billion people who are a conversation away from the internet, tops, global, you see? So all we really need to understand is what the common thread is in what we're pursuing so that we can start giving our attention, our energy, our smile, whatever we're working with, whatever we carry with us, we can lend that to those that we consider leaders. And they might not be leaders, in every area, but it's up to us to bring everything that we respect, everything that we look up to, all of our core values together and live that and be that representation every day. not our mentors. So having good questions, having strong goals, and living that lifestyle of learning and applying what you're learning, what we're participating, it's great. But having strong goals makes for a solid student. You see? Because it's us that lives our days, we have a responsibility, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. Every day we are responding to create our next day. So when it comes to working with mentors, having strong questions, strong goals, the one thing I want to add though, that is what I hear a lot of people say, it is that I've never worked with a mentor or a coach or any kind of personal development item ever. No product or service ever. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've had moments of extreme frustration. And I can tell you right now, I have never wasted a dime on anything related to personal development, because at the end of the day, we have ourselves. So what we invested in, it sounds great, sounds shallow, because we're using words to discuss it. But when we experience the benefits of fluid energy, unlimited motivation, infinite wealth, infinite love coming in, those are the kinds of things that really show us what we do when we have the energy. But we can understand who we are and where we're headed, what we care about right here where we are. So personal development, working with those mentors, I can't say there's any other way to improve yourself than to surround yourself with somebody that you consider incredible.
Yeah, I think that's crucial. I talked to a friend of mine when I first started working with you, and and I was sharing with her and asked her, if she'd ever worked with a a business coach or professional coach, and she said, "Best money you'll ever spend." And it really kind of caught me off guard, because that wasn't what she and I were talking about. It was I was telling her I wasn't going to be able to talk to her because I had to hop on a call, and she was just like, I said, "What did you say?" She said, "You have got to pour into you. You've got to find like-minded and mentors and people who are gonna, kind of bring you up and see the benefits." And it was really kind of interesting, because it was someone who I'd never had that kind of conversation with before, but she had done that with business, and she said it was the best money she'd ever spent. So let's talk a little bit about legacy. So you and I were talking the other day, and the topic of legacy came up. What is your definition of the word legacy, and how does your idea of legacy affect your day-to-day life?
If I were, because I like organizing things, because I'm the most spontaneous, low memory creature I know of. So I like to organize things. So having categories like systems, and organization to the things I think about and projects that I'm pursuing, it allows me to maximize the time in the day. And if at any point in that day, if we aren't looking at the maximum outcome, or at least capable, see, every day we should be looking at, like, what are we going to end up with here? Because there's a sense of finality with mortality. It's the thing that makes things end. It's what gives us a sense of urgency, a sense of anxiety. But I was just talking to a client this morning, and we were having a conversation about anxiety. Like, okay, cool. So we only have 50 years. Okay. So what's the rush? The sun's going to keep coming at the same pace, the heart's going to keep beating at the same beat. And with that, we can start with gratitude, and we can live with our goals in mind. And that's what creates legacy, whether you like it or not. Whether you're putting out there, hateful tweets, or whether you're out there, connecting, millionaires with aspiring entrepreneurs, and really making things happen in the world, you know, what we end up with is the legacy, and it's not up to me to judge. So it's really, to me, in my perspective, something to be respected. And with that respect, we can find gratitude. You know, I find gratitude in that understanding that someday I'll be looking back on these moments for just a moment to see, okay, cool, what are we adding up to here? And to be honest, these memorable experiences of creating, you know, every day, the outcome that we care most about, whether we're right or wrong, whether I'm right or wrong, I'm wrong all the time. But I'm gonna continue the habit of realigning through the process every single day. And that's exactly how we end up with legacy. So some people better wake up, especially right now when things are changing, you know, the typical routine faster than people can even comprehend. A lot of people haven't even thought this big before, you know, let alone prepared. So, you know,
Right.
to
So what do you
be our
do?
best self
What
and
do you
live.
do each day to do that, to be your best self, to show up every day with your best self? Like, how do you personally fuel that passion day in and day out? Like, if you had to give my listeners like the top three things that they should be doing every day to really get in that mindset, what would you say are non-negotiables?
Okay, then the first one is to own the first 90 minutes of your day. That means possess it, observe it, love it, cherish it, and protect it for the sake of creating your own space in the morning. I call this a morning practice, and there's all kinds of ways we can take 90 minutes, you know, especially in those first moments of the day before we bring in anything else into our mind, no way that we can organize that time. So the daily practice with a vision is crucial, definitely the biggest. The other one is writing. So having topics that we discuss with ourselves, like in a journal, on a notebook, or on paper, especially with repetition, like with habit. So writing about the same topics over and over again, maybe you can see where I'm going with this. The goals, those things that we want, the outcomes that we're focused on, the more we can engage our thoughts, which is what we do when we write, and we engage our thoughts, we can read them and work with them, form new ideas. So it allows us to shape our story towards that outcome that we want, that legacy that we do want. So that's writing. So the other thing is to create new connections. So the number one thing that drives top line growth that I can see in any account is the amount of new connections. So when we're focused on the right things, that means that those new connections are also focused on the right things. We're focused on the people who are allowing us to make those things happen our best. So that means that the people who are potential clients, aka prospects, well, if I'm less concerned about what I can get out of it, then going out there and being a supporter, being a giver, and creating something that I can leave, you know, every day depends on my ability to have new conversations. So even in a team, so for those who are running, you know, departments with, you know, 5 to 100 employees, which is a big jump, but it's still just the same. You know, being able to have those new connections and understand where that top line growth is so that we can drive it with our voice and the power of, you know, personal communication. I think that's huge.
Those are great.
That's the
Those are all
three.
great things.
Cool.
Perfect. So let me ask you. So I have a lot of parents that are listening today. And for those that have children that don't necessarily fit that academically stellar box, that's, you know, that boxes that are set by institutional education, what do you think, looking back, what do you think is the most important aspects of true learning that they should have their children focus on right now? Like, if they're starting off their year this year. What do you think would be the best
The
mode of
best.
operation?
The best approach to homeschooling this year. All right, so from the parent perspective, listen, if you're a manager of a process that's bigger than you, and I know it's hard, and I know you're capable of anything, so you're going to have to stay strong this year, okay? And to the degree that you are able to maintain your core values and allow growth to happen unrestricted, you're going to be able to allow that curiosity to blossom. That curiosity is everything. It's the only thing that allows growth to happen. And it's really easy to get frustrated, both for those who are facilitating growth, you know, in the role of a teacher or a mentor, and the students. Look, it's easy to shut up. It's easy to stop asking why. It's really easy to just be silent and try and make it easy for the teacher, you know, to make it through the day without, you know, getting blamed or any kind of negative influence that you're subject to in that kind of an environment. So sometimes we don't have a choice, especially at that age. I think it's important to know that, you know, it is bigger than you, no matter who you are, no matter, you know, which side of the class, you know, whether you're in front of the classroom or whether you're sitting in it or, you know, no matter what. It's all about curiosity. And if it's just about memorizing information, then we're going to have a lot of wasted time, because the information is something that we can repeat and store and transfer. And we have a lot of automated systems to do that. What's lacking is imagination and creativity. And we have a significant habituation for ignoring thoughts that are creative, that are related to our core values and true passions, aspirations, for the sake of making things work for the communities around us. So it's up to us together in pursuing our goals, making them reality as parts of the puzzle, that we all sit together and have a community education model here, where we're allowing that curiosity to, you know, make a 4-hour, you know, day of strenuous classroom activity that leaves kids brain dead and teachers frustrated, you know, turn that into 12 hours of energizing learning. So which one do we want? You know, it's sort of a matter of letting go and seeing our role as facilitators here in a process. You know, we're part of a species here. In our habitat, making it happen. So
that is powerful, and that's I think where education is going to need to head, because, like you said, we can Google anything.
Yeah, that's right. And the creative process is something that an artistic teacher can facilitate. That's how everything awesome is made.
Right.
Because if it lacks that ingredient, if it lacks imagination, it won't have innovation. That, you know, so having things new,
right,
is something that's really rare. But that is what the entrepreneur is about. So for the mompreneur, for the, you know, for the mom at home who's leveraging a whole bunch of detailed pieces here, you know, if we can look at, well, what's really driving us here? Are we showing up because we have to, or are we showing up because we want to? So
yeah,
I ask those questions because a lot of people don't want to ask those questions. What's that?
I remember my last year of teaching in the public school, I was doing a writing piece with my students, and they were eighth graders. And I told them that they could write about, they had to write a persuasive. That was the requirement, was to do a piece of writing that was persuasive in structure, but they could write about any topic that they wanted to write about. And I had these eighth graders that just sat there, and they just didn't know what to do because they weren't being told what to write about. And I had this one boy, and he really, really struggled a lot. And so, you know, I sat down with him and I said, well, what do you love?
He's like, scootering. I'm like, okay, well, let's go with that. Like, what do you love about it? He's like, everything. I love the wind in my hair. I love this. I love that. And I said, well, where do you do it? He goes, oh, I do it around town, but you're not allowed to do it. There's signs up. And I'm like, is there a park in our town? And he's like, no, there's one in the neighboring town. It's really cool. I said, what about writing to like our local officials and requesting a scootering park? He goes, can I do that? I said, why not? That's a persuasive piece.
Excellent. So someday there's going to be a common thread, and this person and anybody involved will know the story, where all kinds of things have been done before and they can be rearranged, the components of it, the resources, the things that make a thing happen that we construct or put together. And then the action, the motion, the, demonstration or what have you, the momentum that is caused by us taking action, those two things put together in the right way is all that it takes to really make an impact, to really make that difference. Education is struggling on the organized, large scale, societal scale, because its standards don't have an element of chaos. So chaos is going to be brought on it by the trends of society, since it's not able to just morph into what people need, what people value, and how we actually, develop as human beings and members of society. So as we face the challenges, we're going to adapt. That's what humans do. We're the best at it as any other species that we know to speak of. So, right here, right now, whether we're teaching or building or standing by, backing somebody else up, or just learning it and getting started in the world, looking at this mess, anybody can look at this situation and see that deep down inside, from the shelter, water, and food that we need to keep the body running, we are really blessed with opportunities that are endless in any direction that we can pursue. And any limits are truly our own opportunity to look back on something that can be, given attention to, given love to, and addressed, because we are the managers, we are the arrangers of our habitat, and that's this planet Earth. So every little thing adds up.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, Stephen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being my guest today. And I look forward to having you back another time where we can talk, about another topic because I love talking to you. You and I, we chat all the time and we know we could go on and on and on. But thank you so much. Is there any parting words that you want to give my listeners?
Choose what you think about wisely. And when I say choose, I mean take the initiative and choose what you're thinking about so that you can be the leader of your outcome instead of the acceptor of the result. So lead your future, live big, let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Stephen. I
I
really
appreciate
appreciate it.
you, Chris. You're the best. I appreciate you so much. Can't wait until our next chat.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today as we heard from Stephen, and I hope that you were inspired by his passionate heart for living big. To find more information about Stephen and the work that he's doing to inspire others, please visit stephennorell.com. There you can find his 10-step action plan to create your dream life. I found it very, very helpful to establish my mission. You can also access your free visionary workbook, which I found very helpful. Knowing your mission, having a clear vision, Knowing your core values and what you stand for is crucial as you continue on your personal journey. Once you have that rock solid foundation, you are then ready to either accept new experiences and opportunities or say no thank you when you can see that they don't align with your values or direction, the direction in which you're designing your future to be. I hope that you were inspired today. I hope that you can see your future, your legacy, and your gifts are so desperately needed in today's world. I look forward to having you join me next time. And remember, your story matters. Be willing to be authentic and vulnerable. You just never know who you are encouraging by sharing your story.